The following is a recording of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information, visit gpts.edu.
Colossians chapter 1 in your Bibles here this morning. Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to look at about four verses with you today. Colossians 1, verse 9. So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is the word of God. It is profitable for us. A prayer to be filled with knowledge. The result of that prayer, walk in a way that is worthy. The power for that walk, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Maybe we should give thanks that God has qualified us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the confidence we have. It is forever settled in heaven. It is unchanging. It is true. And therefore, it is profitable for us today, for our teaching, for our reproof, for our correction, for our training in righteousness, that we would be all that you desire for us to be. We thank you for the opportunity to unpack it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It sure is good to be with you. I was talking to my wife this morning about coming over here, and I said, you know, I really, really enjoy going over there and being with those guys. And I said, I think they keep me in balance. So I appreciate y'all doing that. We're not all that far removed from each other, really. In fact, it's interesting, your prayer request for Sawyer's grandparents and many of his aunts and uncles are in our church. In fact, his mom and dad grew up in our church. But like so often happens with young people who grew up in our church, they become Presbyterians. It could be worse, you know. So we're actually thankful for that. Well, Colossians. I just really like Paul's letters to local churches. I hope that you find them profitable like I do. Generally, they're easy to read. Generally speaking, they're easy to translate. And it's fairly easy to interpret. And they're just chocked full of instruction. Instruction that's necessary for us to keep us close to the Lord, keep us walking with Him the way that we should, because they unpack for us the very simple principles of God's character and how we should be living our lives to demonstrate or reflect that character. Of course, you know, Colossae was probably a typical Roman city in many ways, had a pretty strong Jewish contingency, like was very common. It was a pagan city. That was part of the problem. From what I can understand from this, Paul received word from Epaphras, who was the pastor there, that there was a danger for the church at this time, and that all of the pressure and all of the influence of that pagan society was putting pressure on the Christians, and there was a tendency for them to slide away from their commitment and fellowship with the Lord and begin to put their eyes on that influence from their pagan world. Paul didn't start this church, as far as we know. In fact, he didn't know the people there. Chapter 2, verse 1, he confesses he really didn't know the folks in Colossae, nor did he know the people in Laodicea. But he has this information from his pastor friend, and it's very good for us, because throughout this letter, we just find imperative after imperative after imperative that helps us understand what we have to do to order our lives in a way that reflects the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting thing is, in the text that I chose today, there are no imperatives, but there are a lot of present tense participles that would give us the characteristics of our life on a daily basis. And so I think this is going to be very, very helpful for us to see how important it is and how we go about just staying tied tightly or closely to the moorings of Jesus Christ, if I can put it that way.
We are so much like an 8-year-old boy, for example, who goes and visits grandma and grandpa. They happen to have a house on the lake. We'll say it's on a big lake, maybe like Lake Erie or Lake Michigan. And the little boy slips away from the house. Parents don't know. Grandparents are unaware that he's gone. He goes down to the dock in the bay where there's a little boat, a little rowboat tied up to the dock. Now, he knows he's not supposed to do that, but he just kind of enjoys that freedom. And he gets in the boat, and he knows he's not supposed to be in the boat, but it's kind of exciting. Well, he begins to loosen up the ropes that are tying the boat to the dock, and it's so much fun. But he knows he's not supposed to do that. Well, carelessly, he loosens up the ropes so much they come loose. The boat begins to drift. At first, he's a little bit afraid, and he has anxiety, but then he's thinking, you know, this is so much fun. You know, surely I'll be okay. Well, before he realizes, the boat's way out in the lake. And finally, the shore's just a little bit of a glimpse in the distance, and the worst happens. One of those storms comes up on the lake, and it begins to rain. It begins to thunder and lightning. The waves are getting huge. Sometimes boys like that are rescued. Sometimes they're not. And we are so much prone to wander like that, aren't we? A little bit at a time. You know, this is fun. This is exciting. I like this freedom. And before we know it, we've really removed ourselves too far from our Lord. And so the founder and the builder of this church tells us the living stones he puts in the church, stay connected. Stay connected. So how do we do that? Well, we do that by being filled with the knowledge of God's will. That was Paul's prayer for these people who he really didn't know personally. Verse 9, from the day we heard, we've also not ceased to pray for you. So he knows about these people. And it's very interesting to see this connection, this relationship that Paul has with fellow Christians that he really didn't know personally, but he sure is willing to pray for them. In fact, if you back up a little bit, verse 3, you'll see how this connection was made. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. Of this, you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, which indeed is in the whole world, is bearing fruit, it's growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He has made known to us your love in the Spirit. That's the way the Church of Christ is supposed to be working. All part of the Church of the Christ by the same means, by the same gospel, same grace, and fellowshipping and encouraged and strengthened in each other. So Paul was able to say, yeah, I've heard this great news, and yet we pray for you. Yeah, do you like to hear good news from fellow Christians? Missionaries? You know, we have this ministry at our church. We call it the Rope Holders. Rope Holders ministry is where each person, individual, or each family adopts a missionary. And then they pray specifically for that missionary, and they keep in touch with that missionary. And I mean, really keep in touch, praying, not only praying, writing, not only writing, calling, sometimes going to visit. And then once a month, we have this meeting. We call it the Rope Holders meeting. And all these people get together. You know what we do? We do that. We just share these blessings from the missionaries, and that way we know what's happening in their part of the vineyard as God's dealing with them. That's what Paul was talking about here. He says, I know who you people are. I don't know you intimately. I know that you've had the grace of God in your heart. I am praying for you. What's he praying? Well, he's praying all the time. He says, I haven't ceased to pray. That's the same thing he wrote to the church in Thessalonica 5:17, 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, always in an attitude of prayer, always willing to pray for these people. What is he praying about? Well, the need for spiritual wisdom and understanding, you see, in verse 9. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is not only Paul's desire for these Christians in Colossae, this is the Lord's desire for you and me. That we would know, that we would experience what it is to be completely filled up with the knowledge of God's will, that we would be gorged on this. Aorist, passive, participle. Guess who's doing this for us? That God would be filling us with the knowledge of his will. Do we pray that way for each other? Are we even concerned for each other to that way, in that way? I mean, what's the object of the prayer here? Well, it's the knowledge of God's will, that you might have the blessing of God as He completely fills you up. He gorges you with, and I believe the idea here is the experiential knowledge of God's will. That you know what it means, not only to be aware of God's will, but to work out God's will in your life. This is what God desires for His people, thelema. This is the desire of God, that we would know it. How do you know that? I mean, how do you come to understand these things? Well, the desires of God are all through His Word. His Word is replete. And so the more we read the Word of God, the more we understand the will of God for us. But notice that we would be filled up with that through spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, this becomes very, very practical at this point. What does it look like when we know God's will by experience? These two words, spiritual wisdom, understanding. Wisdom is talking in the most basic sense. You know this. In fact, a word that could simply describe wisdom is skill. Okay, so how do you apply skill in a case like this? This is the point. How does God's will work? How do you take the will of God from words on a page to your life? How do you take these concepts, these principles of the desire of God for you and see them working out in your life? Well, that's wisdom. That's understanding. Understanding is just that comprehension, knowing how to bring these things about. Sometimes, probably not a good definition, but sometimes I like to use the word for understanding here, street smarts. You ever know somebody with street smarts? You know, it isn't that they went to school and learned how to survive on the streets. It's that they learned practically day in, day out, this is what it takes to survive. And this is what we do with the will of God. We read the will of God in His Word, and then we have the ability to take the principles out of God's Word, and I say, connect the dots. How does this fit in your life? In this particular circumstance, how would I respond to this? This is why I recommend to people, that just very simple thing, you notice there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. For years, I've had this practice where every single day I read a chapter in the Proverbs. Now, some months are a little bit shorter, so I have to read two. But that third one, or that last one, 31, is about the wife, so yeah, I don't have to read that too much. Proverbs is just chocked full of this idea of how to connect the dots. This is how the Word of God works in our life. And so we might call this spiritual discernment. Do we have this ability to take the truths from God's Word and see how they work out in everyday life? I just read a book a few months ago by Tim Challis on this, the Discipline of Spiritual Discernment. It's very helpful. I might encourage you to read that. This is what mature Christians are supposed to have experienced in life and practiced in life so that they are able to see, I know how that principle works. Now, this might also be why you younger fellows might once in a while see us older guys kind of standing over in the corner, and we're listening to you, really we are, and you have these great ideas and you have these wonderful things that you think we need to accomplish, and us old guys are kind of standing in the corner like, oh well, you know, why? Well, experience. We have learned how to apply the principles of God's Word, and sometimes we know, you know, we already went down that road. And we know what's at the end of that road, and you don't want to go down that road. And sometimes that's how we learn how these principles of God's Word work. Now, what's happening? What is happening when we are filled up with the knowledge of God's Word, will for us, and putting it into practice on an everyday basis? What's going to happen to us? Well, the next verse tells us what we begin to look like. We're going to have a walk that is worthy. Verse 10. So as to walk in a worthy manner of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. This is like a process, or maybe even a cycle. There are just four steps that are taking place here. This worthy walk flows out of this spiritual understanding, knowing how to take the principles of God's Word and put them to work in your life will impact the way you live. You know, that worthy walk is just the sum total of our lifestyle. In fact, we might even be able to use that as a synonym. This is our lifestyle. And it gets very, very practical when we start to realize that the full knowledge of God's will, as we put it to practice in life, is going to impact what we think, what we say, what we do, where we go, who we hang out with. What can be more practical than that? So that it becomes very obvious, as others would watch us, that there is something unique about our life. And our life is not characterized by the philosophies and the ideas of a changing and passing world. But our life is characterized by principles that are eternal. And we have the same kinds of practices and truths in our lives that Puritans had centuries ago. Why? Same Bible, same will of God, same kind of truth. Now, how do you put that kind of value? Where do you get the value so as to walk in a manner worthy? You know, how do we determine how our life ought to reflect worth? Well, I think there's a neat connection here. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, you remember right at that break in the letter to the Ephesians, where Paul said in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to what? Walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you were called. Same idea. Well, that case, it's really easy, right? Go back to chapter 1, 2, and 3, and there's the worth. There's the value. I mean, you start reading, for example, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the Lord, and blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. How do you even express the value of that? I mean, if you ever just sit down and contemplate, pull out any one of those ideas, that he has seated us with Christ in the heavens, that he chose us before the foundation of the world, that he has blessed us with all spirit. You just look at any one of those and you say, I can't even comprehend the value of that. That's what your life ought to reflect. If we're going to walk worthy, we are going to be applying this truth from the spiritual wisdom and understanding, knowing the will of God. And if we know the will of God, it's going to reflect our evaluation of God. And if we have a high value of something, you know, it's going to be obvious. Let me give you an illustration of this. You're sitting in it. This building. We began Community Baptist Church in 1985. In 1985, we needed a building. We looked at this building. Okay, are you all aware that we actually started out in the building down the street where the OP Church is? Okay, we looked at this building first. And man, we walked through this building and we thought, incredible potential. Incredible expense. Guess which one won? It was the incredible expense. We said, there's no way we can make that look like something we want it to look like. But there's a guy named Dr. Piper who had this vision, and he said, I think we can. And, you know, really, I drive by this building, and I always think, what amazing things they've done with that building. It just looks good. It just looks like quality. I haven't been in every nook and corner of this building. I've never seen any junk anywhere. Everything's good. Everything's quality. And I say, there's someone who says, we are reflecting who we're teaching about. Jesus. He's good. He's great. He's quality. He's value. Does our life show that? Now, by understanding and applying the will of God in our lives, does it reflect that kind of a quality that is
Walking worthy of the Lord. You see that there in verse 10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him.
See that when we demonstrate His worth by the way that we're living, God is pleased. So we make choices. See, this is how that will of God impacts our life in such a practical way. You live in a world full of passing things. Everything about your world is passing away. And yet, what seems to be the most important things of life? The passing things. And if we're not careful, then we begin to focus on that and we begin to adapt to those things that are passing away. And if someone were to look at our life, they might say, well, you know, all that's really important to you is stuff that's passing away. And we would say, well, no, what's really important to me is the eternal truths of Jesus Christ. Well, then why doesn't our life reflect that? Okay, that would certainly please the Lord. Yeah, but how can you make that obvious? Well, look at the result. If we're walking a worthy life that flows out of that spiritual understanding, we are also bearing fruit in every good work. Did you know every single person is going to bear fruit? Not just Christians bear fruit. Everybody bears fruit because that's the way God created us. You know, just like all the plants He created in the garden, all of them bore fruit according to God's design, according to God's purpose. And our forefather and mother, Adam and Eve, were supposed to be bearing fruit according to God's purpose and for God's glory. And they didn't do so well. And when sin entered the world, they didn't stop bearing fruit. You know, Cain bore fruit. It was just evil fruit and wicked fruit. And so everyone is going to bear fruit. In fact, we cannot not bear fruit. The question is, what kind of fruit are we bearing? And that is going to be determined on the branch or the vine or the root to which we are connected. And if we are connected to the most valuable of all roots, Jesus Christ, we're going to be reflecting His work in our lives. In fact, your text calls it good works. Now, we don't choose good works naturally. We only choose to do good works because of the power of God working in us. That grace that He's already revealed to us when He chose us. You know, one of our favorite verses, mine anyway, learned it when I was a kid. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, remember? It's not of works you've done, lest you would be able to boast. Isn't that a great statement? I mean, we've all memorized that. And we never, ever seem to read verse 10. What about verse 10? You know, what's the result of being chosen by grace and given this faith that allows us to be born again? Well, verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are created to bear fruit. We are recreated to do good works for His glory. So what's it look like? Well, you can find a lot of examples. I mean, right off the top of your head, you could say, well, you got the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Man, those are really good sounding words until I sit down and think, oh, that's the will of God. That's His desire for me. How do I make that work in my life? And I say, you know, in fellowship with the Lord, I'm reading my Bible and praying and having a great time in the morning. And then you know what I have to do? I have to go out and get in my car and drive down Wade Hampton Boulevard and forget all about those things. And it's very, very easy when we get in the flesh and when we're in our circumstances of life to start being characterized by things like strife, jealousy, enmity, fits of anger. Yeah. Now, the worthy walk is very clear. It's very obvious because it's characterized by good works. In fact, Ephesians 4, 1, we already said, walk worthy of your calling. What does that look like? Verse 2. With all humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Those are really practical characteristics. And we learn how to do those by reading the Word of God, putting them into practice. Now, here's where the thing begins. It's almost like it cycles. Look, another result.
Last part of verse 10. If we're walking the worthy walk based on what we're learning from the Word of God, putting it into practice in life, we are increasing in the knowledge of God. It's like playing an instrument. You ever forced when you're a child by your parents to play an instrument? You know, some of you kept with it, and you practiced, and you practiced, and the more you did it, the better you got. You know people like that. And if you're like me, you always look at people like that, and you know what we say? I wish I would have kept practicing. Well, this is how this works. We're bearing fruit. As we bear fruit, we are increasing in knowledge. Present tense verbs there. How do we do that? Well, we don't do that on our own by any means. Verse 11. That you may be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. In all power, we're being empowered. In fact, the word power in the Greek, they're back-to-back right here, emphasizing that power. You know the word, right? Dunamis? We get our word dynamite, which we use to destroy things. And we get our word dynamo, which we use productively to make electricity. And both those words need to be applied in our lives. You need the dynamite of God to destroy sin in your life. You need the dynamo of God to create good works. And that's how we do it. We're empowered with His power. According to what? What's the measure? What's the standard here? According to His glorious might. You know, you might be able to create some pretty good habits in your life. You just have some self-discipline. You just really knuckle down and say, I'm going to do this and this and this. And put, you might even put 10 points in a list on your refrigerator and go by and check it off every day. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And you make a great Mormon because that's the way they live their lives. And some of them are incredibly disciplined. But you only bear good works for the glory of God when you're empowered by His power according to His might. What's the result of it? Well, you have endurance, you notice. That's the ability to just stick with it, persevere. Obviously, it's implying what? Trials, testing, problems. You don't have to endure something that's fun. You know, well, I endured a day at the park. No, you enjoy the day at the park. You endure trials. What else comes with that? Patience, long in temper. I think from what I understand, much of the time, this is a word that applies with your relationship with other people. And if years ago I planted a church in Woodruff, down in the country. Slow process. I think there are never more than 25 folks there. And I used to run into my peers and they would say, hey, Dave, how's it going? How's the church plant? I said, great. No people, no problems.
When we start dealing with people, we have to have this. Not just endurance, but often we have to have a circumstance, but patience as we work with people and joy, which comes from our relationship to the Lord. You know, circumstances can make you happy, but the Lord makes you joyful. Well, finally, verse 12. Because of all this, we ought to be giving thanks. That too is a present tense verb, by the way. This ought to be a characteristic of our life. Why? Well, look what God has done for us. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He made us enough. Boy, when we start thinking through the will of God, we say, here's God's will, just laid out for me in plain terms throughout His Word. And He gives me the strength and ability and understanding to apply those things in life. So as a result, I have a life that is worthy, that reflects His character and helps other people see how I value the Lord. And I'm empowered by Him to do good works that reflect His character. How do I do that? Well, because He has made me enough. And more than that, This has an eternal perspective to it, to share with the saints. You know, fellas, really, and ladies, sorry, didn't mean to leave you out there. We really sometimes we get so wrapped up, so tied up in the things of this life that we lose our eternal perspective. And when everything else is taken away and it's all gone, we still have this truth. He has made me enough for eternity. And I'm going to share in the eternal joys with all the other saints and all the other children of God. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the encouragement that we find when we read it. Thank you for the instruction. It's so plain. It's so useful. Father, I just pray that you would help us to have that wisdom and that understanding to know how to make these principles work in everyday life, that you might be glorified by the way that we live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to this production of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information, please visit gpts.edu.